It's 8:30. Saturday Night Theatre.
The Riverside Villa's Murder by Kingsley Amis. Dramatized for radio by Frederick Badlam. With Ian Sharrock as Peter Furneaux, Stephen Thorne as Captain Furneaux, and Peter Jeffrey as Colonel Manson. The play begins on a summer evening in 1936. The Riverside Villa's Murder.
Hello there, Peter.
Good evening, Mr. Langdon.
He's nice, Mr. Langdon. Golly, funny. Terrific imitations of Sidney Howard and C.H. Middleton, he does. I think I'll fly them from here. Not too near the river, near enough to number 22 Riverside Villas. Mr. Hodgson, a private investigator. Dad says inquiry agent. Also ex-copper. I wind up the plane. Aeroplane, sorry. Have a look at garden. Deck chair, book on it. Must be Daphne. Coming back by the look of things. Daphne Hodgson. Not the school's code of dishonesty. Find one, and keep on at her until she lets you take her out. But don't touch her until you've got her on her own. Right, airplane wound up. I've seen some recce. Troop concentration, a movement of supplies and ammo. One, two, three, off you go! She's climbing. Turning now. Go on. Curve down. Curve down! Hell! Shot up, and there, over the hedge of number 22. Blast. Here comes Daphne to the deck chair, wearing those trousers. So don't look there. Have to ask her.
Hello, Daphne. Can I fetch my aeroplane?
Your what?
Aeroplane. It's over there in the flowers.
Oh. Oh, that model plane.
Yes, can I fetch it?
Why not?
Thanks. It's a Moraine Sonia.
Oh. It's no stuff, is it?
No, it's okay. It'd have to go full speed into a brick wall to do much to itself. It's very light, you see.
Oh. Is it?
Here, feel it.
Oh, I believe you.
What are you reading?
Book.
Oh.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to go on reading it.
I wonder if she's done it. Can't imagine her. Is it a thriller?
Not so far, is it?
What's it called?
The Constant,
Nymph. Try to see down the front of her shirt. The Constant Nymph. What's it about?
Young girl in love with old man, I think.
Would you like to come for a walk after supper?
Where to?
Just along the river. We could talk and things.
Some things. When's your voice going to break?
It's started to already. And a lot else is all there in working order.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I bet. What about this walk?
What walk? I told you.
All right. I'll try again, though. I don't give up easily.
No. You do shut the gate when you go?
Of course. I did it. Bring up text whenever you can, but not in a crude way. Was in working order crude? Couldn't see a thing down her shirt. Anyway, dishonor is satisfied. Now, I'll try the manoeuvre. Send the Maureen Sonia up, then catapult the Skyhawk glider to intercept it like an aerial torpedo. Right. Wind up the plane. Aeroplane, sorry. There. One, two, three. Off you go! Glider at the ready. Here she comes. Take aim. Fire! No, too far in front. Would have given the pilot a nasty shot, though, I bet. Where are they? Near number 19. Pick them up and try again. Mrs. Trevelyan.
Peter? Peter Furneaux.
Hello, Mrs. Trevelyan.
Hello, Peter. How are you? Any news from your mother?
I'm very well, thank you. No, not since yesterday. We're going to ring up this evening and find out.
I was wondering, when you rung, whether you and your father might like to come and have a bite of supper with my husband and me.
It's very kind of you, Mrs. Trevelyan.
I'll ask him in a moment. What are the planes?
This is a Moraine Sonia, and this is a Skyhawk glider.
Maneuvers?
Just training flights.
Oh, of course. I realize you can't give anything away to casual inquirers, but I wondered...
Well, actually, these are secret trials. A new technique of anti-aircraft events. An aerial torpedo, the Skyhawk, aimed at the middle of an enemy formation.
Yes, I see. How's it fired?
It would be launched by catapult. There are catapults, real ones, I mean, that can launch an aeroplane from the decks of naval vessels. The battlecruiser HMS Hood is one.
Catapult? You're 14, aren't you, Peter?
Yes, that's right.
You build your own machine?
The plane, the aeroplane, is just shop kit. Elastic motor, quite powerful when it's fully wound. There are petrol ones you can buy, but they cost a terrific lot.
She's looking at me like the chap who guessed my weight, but differently.
I would like to build one of my own, but that would cost a lot, too. I'm not sure I could do it, anyhow. I'm not good enough with my hands.
Oh, I'm sure that sort of thing develops with practice.
Well, I suppose it might.
Now, I must go and find your father before he starts supper. Are you coming in?
I think I'll just have another couple of flights.
I hope to see you later, then.
Yes. Thank you. Her hips and her top half. You can see them move. Easily move on her dress. White dress with red and blue flower pattern. She's not a girl. Not like Daphne. 25, 27. Terrifically attractive. Looks me up and down that way. Did I blush? Hope we go to supper. Two flights and I'll go in.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Peter. Honestly, old boy, I can't imagine what possesses some people. I've tried, but I can't.
What sort of people, Dad?
Well, this woman, Charlotte Bryant, in the Sunday Express here. Sentenced to death yesterday for murdering her husband. Weed killer, if you please. Giving your own husband arsenic over a period of 6 months. Watching him writhing about. Oh, I just can't understand it. Beyond me.
Are we going to have supper with Mr. and Mrs. Trevelyan?
Yes, yes. Decent little woman, Mrs. Trevelyan. I can't say I altogether take to him, Don or Ron or whatever he's called. Bit of a go-getter, if you ask me.
He's a solicitor, isn't he, Dad?
Yeah, something of the sort. I say, oh boy, will you put the top back on that bottle for me?
Yes, thanks.
This is when I miss your mother. She's my right arm, all right.
I don't know, Dad. You do a lot of things with it.
Well, since I've suffered it since 1918, 18 years now, I ought to be used to it. I am, I suppose, on the whole. Except for not being able to wield a tennis racket. That still cuts.
It's a tennis club's flannel dance next Saturday, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yes, your first flannel dance. Now, this chap they hanged the other week, Buck Ruxton.
Dad, are we going to ring up Mum?
Ah, yes, yes. You go and ask for the number, would you? I'll come and speak when they put you through.
Right, Dad.
The number's on the pad.
Hello? I want Mitcham 2679, please. Selston 0647.
I know better.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Dad? Oh, hello. This is Peter. Yes. Can I speak to Mum, please? Dad? Mum's coming.
Here we are. Acting Chief Constable Colonel Manton, DSONC. Everybody sharp.
Good morning.
Good morning. Colonel Manton was expecting me, Detective Constable Barrett.
Oh, yes. Well, do come in, Mr. Barrett.
Ah, thank you.
He said for you to wait in the library.
Oh, thank you.
Here. It won't be a moment.
What do you read, Colonel, sir? The Incredulity of Father Brown. Who's he? Parson? Priest? Ah, the mysterious affair at Stiles, Agatha Christie. I should have guessed you're a Techyarn fan, sir.
Ah, morning, Jules Barrett.
Good morning, sir.
Wretched weather.
Yes, it is unsettled, like.
Yes, indeed. Do sit down. What would you say to a glass of champagne?
Well, sir, I...
Drinking on duty. Don't let's have any of that nonsense. A glass of bubbly is a splendid pick-me-up this time of the day, don't you agree?
I haven't had much practice with it, sir.
Well, that we must remedy. There we are. Charlie.
Charlie, sir?
I do beg your pardon. Charlie is service language for the letter C, which is --, in the Morse code, and in this case, stands for champagne. Mrs. Ellington, who let you in, and I have worked out quite a useful system. It saves time for both of us, and it means I only have to see her once on each occasion instead of twice, which is an advantage, because I don't like her much. Right, tell me what you know about this business. All I know is that someone scrapped Boris Karloff and some coins.
Yeah, well, Miss Hoolgate, the assistant librarian, sir, discovered the glass case in which Boris Karloff was kept was empty shortly after 9 this morning.
Long Borrow man, a very well-preserved skeleton. Probably Stone Age. Possibly Victorian.
Well, the experts can't agree, sir, on when he lived.
But dead, he bears a remarkable resemblance to Boris Karloff as Frankenstein's stealthy monster.
Yes, sir. Whoever stole him, anyway, also stole some of the museum's coins. Only some, and not the most valuable.
How does the thief get in?
Window in the alley at the rear, sir. Used wrapping paper glued to the pane before smashing the glass.
Yes.
Somebody may have heard or seen something, but I doubt it. The window is in a recess, like. Sergeant Duke is doing a house-to-house round.
Hold on. Put it down there, Mrs. Ellington.
Thank you.
No hammers or blood around, I suppose?
Oh, no, sir. A professional job by the look of it.
I always get her to open stuff, so I don't like the bag.
Here
we are.
Oh, thank
you, sir. I'm here, Barris. Tell me, how's my old associate, Detective Inspector Cox?
Oh, all right, I think, sir. Busy, as usual.
What's his thought on Boris Karloff going?
He said the case will either be dead easy or hopeless.
Not a bad snap judgment. Intelligent fellow, Cox. Pity he's such a fearful swine. Oh! My dear fellow. Well, now you've poured that one down, have another.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see now. Milking it. Who might want to get hold of Boris Karloff? Have him snaffled.
Thank you. Found her. Mr. McGrath, the librarian, reckons there's no market for him.
No, I'm sure he's right. And the coins?
Worth about 60 quid and could be sold.
If our man wanted only one or the other, the coins or Boris, which was it?
Boris. You wouldn't take him at all if all you wanted was the coins.
Nice, simple thinking, and I can see a great deal in its favour. But there's absolutely nothing to suggest he didn't want both. Karloff and the coins, for some reason, yet to emerge.
Wait a moment, old boy. There'll be a gap in the traffic in a moment, if we're lucky. Amazing, isn't it, what people will pack into a small car. What sort of car's that?
Standard
liner. I suppose they've been to Eastbourne or Brighton for the day, lucky blighters. Now a gap's coming up. Over we go. That's it. Good. Nearly there. Your first tennis club flannel dance, old boy. Quite an occasion, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to it. It was all day.
There'll be sandwiches and bridge rolls and things if you start feeling peckish. I do wish your mother could get back. I'm afraid I'm not much of a hand at anything more complicated than eggs and bacon. This is it. Here we are. We turn up here. Look out! Silly devil. He was too damn near.
He stopped. They must be going to the dance.
Yeah, must be. Who is it? I might have known. Ill-bred little squirt.
Who is he, Dad?
He is Christopher Inman, Esquire. And that's his lady wife. Absolute rabbit at tennis, he is. Can't play for toffee.
He's very small. Young looking.
Well, he's old enough to know better. Right, come along. In we go. Who's playing? Bert Soper's Rhythm Boys. I suppose they're okay.
They haven't a trumpeter.
So I see. Now, who's here? Oh, there's Mr. and Mrs. Elliot.
They're waving us over to them.
I might as well join them then, eh? For a start, anyway.
Fine, Dad.
Good evening, Mrs. Trevelyan. Good evening. Young Peter's here for his first flannel dance.
I hope you enjoy it, Peter.
Thank you, Mrs. Trevelyan. I'm sure I shall.
Well, I'm in the chair. What do you both have? Well, thank you. I'll have a pale ale, if I may. Pale ale. And you, Peter?
Can I have a cider?
You certainly can. I won't be a jiffy. Here's Reg Lagden. My round, Reg. What do you have?
Hey, by drum, who's got here? Mr. Furnow.
You meant to be Yorkshire or Lanx, Mr. Lang.
Oh, you cheeky young devil.
Are you by yourself, Mr. Lang?
I am, Mrs. Trevelyan. The wife pleads a sick headache.
How are you, Furno?
Well enough, considering all things.
Good crowd here this evening.
Just about the whole of Riverside Villas, except for the Hodgson.
Oh, Harry said they were going to be a bit late. House full, Peter?
Not too bad.
Here we are. Very good. Side racks for the guest of honor. Here's your darling.
Thank you.
Oh, cheers, everybody.
Cheers, Peter.
My school days were bad. Awful from start to finish.
Oh, mine weren't. I was the school bully from the day I arrived, Virginia, so I had a lovely time.
In sensitive clods like you, Don, will be okay. Fellows cast in a finer mode, like me. And then I had the crack idiocy to do it all over again, the other way round.
I didn't know you'd been a master.
Well, a teacher rather than a master. Girls as well as boys. 6 inglorious years of it.
Oh, where was this?
Of course, there were great compensations, my young friend. I've always much loved the beautiful new shoes. Oh, well, how shall I say? The pleasure and the little neck. Oh, there they are.
That was the German film, was it?
Yes, M. You remember? Strong meat for babes. Has anyone seen The Secret Agent yet?
I haven't. It's in the West End, isn't it?
Yes. I went in my capacity as film critic for The Rag. John Gielgud and Robert Young, as well as Laurie. There's a
terrific scene in the
Peter, I want to know. Come with me.
Why don't you come on?
Thank you, Peter. We'll go back in a minute, only I thought you were finding it just a bit boring.
No. Well, yes, a bit.
I imagine you'll be keeping a pretty close eye on the local girlhood tonight.
That is the sort of the idea, of course. But I haven't had much practice yet, and there's the age problem.
Oh, there's always an age problem, however old you are, Peter. Have you any particular fancies?
I was thinking of Daphne Hodgson, but she's not here yet.
Oh, I know. She's a nice-looking girl.
I think so, but she's a bit, you know, heady-going.
Well, what do you mean? Dull?
No, not really. More high and mighty, but supercilious.
Ah, so you get the impression she doesn't like you much.
That's it exactly. Not dislike, just doesn't much like.
How many times have you met and talked to her?
About a dozen.
Average length of conversation?
I don't know. 5-6 minutes?
Then she doesn't not like you, that's for certain.
Some of the time she couldn't have got out of it.
Oh, yes, she could, believe me. How old is she?
15.
Peter, growing up isn't any easier for girls than it is for boys. Daphne is just as unsure of herself as you are. But she hides it behind this sort of, so what, and don't know what you're talking about attitude.
Who told you that?
Who told me what?
She's always saying to me, so what, and she doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I guess. If she does it again, tell her politely you'll put it another way.
A simpler way, if I can possibly manage to think of one by racking my brain.
No, no. That's bad psychology with females. Keep that for your clever chums at school. Don't you agree?
Good Lord. You're awfully... I don't know. It sounds silly, but you're awfully wise.
That's very nice of you, but I'm not really. I'm just... remember things.
I think it's more than that.
Oh, look. There's the Hodgson's arriving and Daphne.
Better late than never.
Over you go and ask her for the first dance.
Yes. What about you?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll see myself there.
Jolly hot in here, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, I think it is.
Oh,
sorry. You just have to follow my lead, Daphne. There's nothing to it if you've got a natural sense of rhythm.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me put it another way. You must find the beat.
What beat? What's the matter with you, you stuffy Jane?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh.
Thank you.
How'd it go, son?
All right, I think, Mr. Hodgson.
Yeah, well, I know. No need to tell me.
I'm going to sit down.
Well, nobody's stopping you.
No.
Stay and have a glass of ginger pop, Peter.
It's very nice of you, Mr. Hodgson, but I'd better be getting back.
Oh, where's your old man then? Oh, I see. Over there with the Trevelyan.
I say, Mr. Hodgson.
What is it, son?
You know a lot of people. Who's that gentleman in the dark suit to your right on the edge of the floor?
Oh, him. Oh, he's a gent, all right. That's his nibs, Colonel Manton. I'll imagine why he's here tonight. Why do you ask?
I thought he was watching us dancing.
Yeah, I don't have nothing to do with him. Not you.
Why not, Mr. Hodgson?
Oh, I can't explain now, only he's a funny sort of cope.
Well, I'd better be going. Thank you for the dance, Daphne.
Oh, all right.
Bye, son.
Colonel Manton. Homo, is he? Not like most. But he watches me all evening. Who sat at our table? Inman. Yes. Inman, who's a little squirt. What's he up to?
Cut along, old chap. Best thing all round. Hello, Peter.
I'm back, Dad.
As you've cut along, old chap, in approximately 30 seconds, I have one thought to leave you with, Captain Turner. I ran into that bloke again the other day.
What bloke?
Oh, you know what bloke. The bloke who had the privilege of being a comrade in arms of yours in His Majesty's Royal Flying Corps during the late hostilities. Aren't any of your comrades left, are there? Hmm? All but a few went down in that troop ship, didn't they?
Okay,
anyway, this bloke was positively remembered you, and he had some very interesting...
Clear off, Chris. Clear off.
And don't you start, Mr. Three Valiant, feeling that you're perfectly secure in your tasteful, semi-detached riverside residence.
You'd better stop.
There are some items in your own situation that would not, as the saying goes, look well in the full light of day. So watch your step, and keep a very civil tongue in your head. And I mean that for all of you. You, Langdon. And you, Captain Furnal, also.
You'll need teaching a lesson.
Oh, yeah, did you think you're mad enough?
Okay, everybody. Come along, dear. Come along. Are you all right?
Yes, thank you, my dear old boy.
Oh, he's like some stupid kid.
Poison to the beast.
What was he talking about? About a bloke? I couldn't understand it.
He didn't know what he was saying himself. The fellow was completely pickled. Drunk. Now, let's forget it.
Pleasure of your daughter? May indeed. Go back to the dress. Her thumbs against my throat. Close. Does it count with her? Is it like a nurse? No, nothing like a nurse. Dark suit there, Colonel Manton. Watching.
This is little Angeline, isn't it?
That's right. Not playing it very well, are they?
No. They're pretty lousy. Which are the good bands, Peter?
Well, all the ones you hear on the wireless are pretty good. Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel off hymns. Maurice Winnick. Charlie Coombs from Kasani's Club. George Scott Wood and his six swingers.
That's a lot of names to remember.
You soon learn if you're really interested.
That's true. You're a natural dancer, Peter.
That was a funny business with Mr. Inman, wasn't it?
He's a poisonous little swine, that's all.
I can't understand why he should have gone out of his way to be so unpleasant like that.
Causing trouble for the fun of it. There are people who like doing it, and he's one.
My father told me Mr. Trevelyan had been made a partner in his firm. You must be very pleased.
Oh, we are, of course. Of course, it'll be a wrench, in a way.
A wrench?
Hmm. We'll be moving to North London as soon as we find a house.
I see. North London.
Yeah. I'm not going to vanish off the face of the earth. You must come and see us there.
Yes. Feels as if you are. Going to vanish?
Well, we're not. You'll see. Now, let's concentrate on your dancing. You're good, all right, but you ought to open up a bit. Variations.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
pretty to you. These foolish things. Mm, I know. The telephone that rings, the speech to answer. Oh, how the ghost of it came. It's very well put for this sort of song. I wonder if anybody special wrote it. Should I leave now? She doesn't. She's still closed. There's Mr. Inman at the Hodgson's table now. Oh, they've dimmed the lights. I can't see properly.
Peter?
Yes?
I'm not going away yet. Kiss. Not yet. There.
Look, Mr. Hodgson, Mr. Inman. Hodgson's going to hit him. Stopped him on the chin.
Oh, Sir Christopher Inman's right.
Everybody's crowding round. Can't see a thing. There's Colonel Manton. He looks as if he means business.
Oh, that man. He never took his eyes off us. We'd better go back. There's the father looking anxious.
Right.
I wish Mum would come back soon. Still, it's really quite good being alone. Dad not back till 6:30 at that. Homework. Later. Not much anyway. And I can do the Congress of Vienna in the morning on the train. Time. 5 to 5. Radio times. Tuesday. 5:15. The London Zigeuner Orchestra. Have that on. What's in the Daily Mirror? New flight in August. Jim and Amy Mollison. What's this under it? Change of life in men and women. Dr. Marie Stopes. Sex? Change into what? 6 bob, post fourpence? Not likely. Cricket. How are the Indians doing? What? French windows. There's a bloke there. Is he drunk?
Just a jiff. I'll open the windows.
Fallen in the river. Soaking wet. Come in. Can I help?
Mr. Inman.
Oh, it's me.
Sit down.
His head. Wounded.
I'll get help, Mr. Inman. Get Mrs. Trevelyan.
Mrs. Trevelyan!
There's an
accident.
A man's been hurt. He's inside.
I can't
take it away. Go back to him.
Put a cushion
on
his head.
Mr. Inman, can you hear me?
Oh.
Hello. Sorry.
Mr. Inman, there's help on the way. We'll get a doctor.
Oh, heard something. I turned around. It hit me in the head. I fell down. I had to tell him. You wouldn't have liked it. It was important. I had to be honest. A man has the right to know.
Don't talk. You shouldn't try.
You're the Furlough boy, aren't you?
Yes, Peter Furlough.
You tell you...
Oh, God! It's Chris Inman!
How did it happen, Chris?
Oh!
Peter, go to the telephone and tell them it's an emergency call and they're to send an ambulance as soon as possible. Don't try to talk, Chris.
Oh, it's me. Oh, I had to tell Tim Horton. Colonel? Oh. Yes, that's it.
Oh, my God. You look dreadful.
Fetch me that mirror. Thank you. I think so. The mirror's quite clear. I think he's dead, Peter.
How do you feel, old boy?
I'm not yet.
Just about. Oh, I ran every yard from the office. Jack Lovelock couldn't have done it faster. I don't know how you can be so calm. Marvellous, 100%.
I wasn't frightened when he came in and fell over. I was more sorry for him. Then he seemed to be saying hello and other muddled things. It was worse for Mrs. Trevelyan. He died as she held his head.
Yes. The police inspector said he doesn't think it was an accident. Somebody probably thumped him with a sharp instrument and then shoved him in the river. The doctor's surprised he managed to get out and get up here.
I think, Dad, if you don't mind, I'll take Mrs. Trevelyan home. We'll stay with her till the doctor comes. We'll only be next door if the inspector wants us again.
Good idea, old boy.
Let me take you home, Mrs. Trevelyan.
Thank you, Peter. Yes.
The police have phoned Mr. Trevelyan and your doctor.
Yes.
Oh, the fresh air is nice.
Give me your arm. No door key. We'll have to go in the back way. The door's open.
I'm not walking too fast.
No. You're a brave boy, Peter. And intelligent. I couldn't have moved a finger under my own steam.
Anybody could see that. I'll open the gate. There we are.
Peter, I know it's silly, but bolt the gate, please.
No, it's not silly. I bet we bolt ours tonight. Sorry. Bolt's rather stiff. Done it. Now, let me take you into the house.
Don't grow up too fast, Peter. When I was your age, I couldn't wait to get out into the world. But I thought it was going to be so marvelous. Well, it isn't. Things like this, they're happening all the time. And it isn't fair. It isn't fair at all.
Don't cry. Please, Mrs. Trevelyan. You've had an awful shock.
I know. Awful. Oh, that's my husband's car. I'll be all right now. And thank you, Peter. Thank you.
So, you're Peter Furlough.
Yes, sir.
My name is Manton, and this is Detective Inspector Cox and Detective Constable Ballot, whom we met yesterday.
Hello, young Master Furlough.
Yes, Furlough, that's a French name, isn't it?
It was originally, but my father says our ancestors came to England in the 15th century.
No doubt they did. Now, Peter, I read the statement you made to Mr. Ballot yesterday, and I've asked you to come to my house because there's one or two things I want to ask you. But first, let me tell you, we can stop this little talk any time you choose, understand?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, those things you said Inman said, are they verbatim?
I think so, sir. I was listening very carefully.
Well, you say Inman kept saying hello. Are you certain of that?
No, sir. It was as near as I could get. He wasn't talking clearly. He was very blurred.
Yes, Ballot. Funny thing for a seriously injured man to say, wasn't it?
Yes, but he was very confused. I don't think he could see very well, and he only just knew me. So he could have said hello out of puzzlement or surprise.
Yeah, what do you think, Cox?
Well, it's possible, isn't it? Anything's possible.
Indeed, yes. Peter, did you make any particular sense out of the other things he said?
No, sir.
Right. Now, as to the dance on Saturday, I was there. I think you saw me.
Yes, I did, sir.
I think I saw some sort of altercation involving Inman and your father and Mr. Trevelyan.
Yes, Mr. Trevelyan was very angry. He'd have hit Mr. Inman if Mrs. Inman hadn't arrived, I'm sure.
Yes. Could you make anything of what Inman said to your father?
Yes, sir, to a certain extent. You see, my father's squadron was recalled from Mesopotamia in the last year of the war, but it never got back.
The troop ship was sunk. There were, I think it was, 7 left altogether, including my father. They were the ones in hospital who weren't fit to travel. My father had smashed himself up a couple of days before when his engine failed as he was coming into land. His right arm's not much use even now.
What type of aeroplane was it?
A stop with F1 Camel, sir. Huh. My father can tell you all about it.
Yes, sir, Cap. Let's get back to Trevelyan for a moment. You said he was very angry. Well, there's lots of sorts of angry. Which sort was he?
Not wild, sir. Dangerous looking, but well under control.
Thank you. Have you got that, Barrett, all of it?
Yeah, I have, sir. I think Master Fenner is to be congratulated.
Yes, he is. Don't you think so, Cox?
Yes, you've been most helpful, youngster.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Peter, perhaps you wait in the little room outside while we have a few words with your father.
A hell of a long few words. He's been there 20 minutes. What was it Inman's friend remembered? Who killed Inman? Why? I do wish Mum was here. Dad looks so lost.
Please wait in here. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Hudson.
Sit down, son. You been in there?
Yes. My father's in there at present.
My turn next. Well, what do you make of his nibs, Colonel Manson, eh?
I thought he was rather nice. A bit sort of funny, though.
Oh, he's a scream, that half he isn't. Now, this isn't it. I'll take a swing at him and in public means I've probably done him in.
I wouldn't think so.
Oh, thanks, Peter, but you're not them. Is your mother back yet?
No, she can't leave. My aunt hasn't had the baby yet. It's late or something.
Are you here, are you, Hudson?
Yep. Does his Snibs want me in now?
Be in a moment, Mr. Hudson.
You were a long time with Colonel Manton there.
The blighter's raving mad. Question after question after damn silly question.
What sort of questions?
What sort of a man Christopher Inman was? Had he got any enemies? I said he must have had at least one, which didn't go down at all well, let it be said. Had I noticed any suspicious characters hanging about the place?
Could Fowler have managed it in the time, there and back, Colonel?
That we must establish, Barrett.
It wouldn't have been easy for him with that arm. No, cops, not easy.
Anyway, he did come very clean about the crash. That is, the non-crash.
Well, he knew we could probably turn up the hospital records.
Too probably. Or find that bloke of Inman.
Right, let's have our private inquiry agent in, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Mr. Hodgson, will you come in now, please?
Yep. Better than the station, this room.
Come in, Hodgson.
Mr. Hodgson.
Oh, good. I'm glad I have the name right. I'd be grateful if you'd tell me where you were between 4:30 and 5 yesterday afternoon.
I was out Putney way, Upper Richmond Road.
What were you doing there?
I was on a case. At least I thought I was.
Explain.
Well, somebody rang me up, gave his name as Evans, and asked me to go to number 2 Hazel Drive, Putney. Wouldn't say why on the phone, which is not unusual in my business. He told me it was about 5 minutes' walk from Putney High Street, going west along the Upper Richmond Road on the north side. When I got there, no Hazel Drive, where he said.
Did you ask anybody? Isn't it on the street plan?
Well, I asked a woman, and she was sure there wasn't such a place. No, it's not on the street plan, but there are new streets around there, and streets with names like Hazel Drive. Hazel Well, for instance. Anyway, I walked along the Upper Richmond to Rocks Lane, but no Hazel Drive. So I headed back to the office, fast as I could go. But it was all right when I got there, so I came home. That's it.
Times?
Well, left the office at 3:30 or so. Got to where Hazel Drive wasn't, say 4:20. Gave up looking like after 15 minutes. Back to the office 5:30, just about 2 hours.
What about the woman you asked? Description?
Well, I didn't notice. I was too head up, see?
Head up about what?
Well, being distinct like mad. No, I didn't care for Evan's voice, first off, all deep and hoarse like he was forcing it. Now, the way I seen it, some sort of got me out of the way so he could have a go at my office. Well, I've got no cash to speak of, but lots of files, confidential. When I got back to Oban, I find everything's all right and I shrug it off. Till I get home and find Chris Inman has been done in, and when. So I see where that puts me from your point of view.
So you work alone?
No, son. I've got 10 assistants sitting around the place.
Which means there were no witnesses to the phone call.
Somebody may have seen me leaving the building, that's all. Now, Evans was fixing me up with no alibi for what happened to Chris Inman.
I won't keep you much longer, Hodgson. I'd just like to know the details of the altercation you had with Inman last Saturday.
Okay. Inman said I got pitched out of the force for taking backhanders. That's bribes to you. Well, I say it's a lie and you won't find nothing on my record about it. My record says I resign and I say so too. Now, you'll have to start looking somewhere else altogether. I'll make it a bit stronger while you're about it if you want a motive for me.
You don't kill a bloke because he shoots off his mouth that he once took a few backhanders 9 years ago. Now, hopeless, my dear old soldier. I don't care anymore. Good day.
Langdon, by the way, Colonel, is well known for his imitations of celebrated people. He can turn on any sort of voice, I gather.
Yeah, but his alibi is cast iron, I'm afraid. He can join Trevelyan on the eliminated list. Have you the medical report on Inman there, Barrett?
No, yes, sir.
Ah, thank you.
Rapid cerebral compression, struck with tremendous violence, like the work of a tall, right-handed man. Nature of the weapon, difficult to determine, brain penetrated. In case, considerable physical exertion.
Just some minutes, he could easily...
Yes. And we've just been talking to a man without an alibi who's the only person in sight with a required physical qualification.
Hodgson.
Yes. Madly dull, isn't it?
We've been assuming Inwin was struck hand to hand. Couldn't he have had something thrown at him?
By a darts player with muscles like Samson.
Oh, not necessarily thrown by hand. Projected in some way. A bow and arrow, perhaps.
I'll tell you exactly how it was done. Mrs. Trevelyan wanted to kill Inman because he knew she'd been a West End whore and was telling people so. But she didn't want to stab him or poison him because that would have been dull. So she read up a lot of detective stories to find a madly undull way. As a result, she stole a crossbow out of a museum and hid behind a bush with it near the river. And when Inman came along, she called out, "Keep still for a bit, Chris, while I aim my crossbow at you, please." Museum. Good point, Cox. So far, we haven't found any possible way of linking the theft of Boris Karloff with the murder of Inman.
I see. There must be a link, because it would be so dull if there weren't.
Well, I reckon Furno was once a regular customer of the Trevelyan dame, so he nicked the skeleton for her to use as target practice.
Perhaps you're right, Cox. Perhaps you're right.
And do you think we'll come across the weapon, sir?
Mule, Cox? Well, they never found a weapon in the Wallace case, did they?
No, never. No. Our weapon's gone. Over the river and all the grass and greenery and so forth. And that's assuming he didn't take it with him.
It leaves me very depressed, Cox. You'll be glad to know.
Alibis are the order of the day, old boy. Who's that thing?
Geraldo and his...
No, I was in my office.
Then that's all right, because the girl was with you, wasn't she?
Well, I'd sent her home after lunch. She wasn't well, off colour. She didn't want to go, but I insisted. Well, that looks good, doesn't it? Nobody called in. Nobody telephoned until you did with the news. Oh, I could have done it without even hurrying very much, according to our clever custodians of the law.
But, Dad... You'd have been seen. I don't know.
Well, they say I could have gone out the back door. Then I could have gone under the road by way of the culvert. Well, catwalk across it, apparently. And same thing going back. And they found some sort of fight club yesterday by the bridge, they said.
A club?
Yeah. Why, they don't call him Scotland Yard, beats me. It's that Manson fella. Obstinate as a damn mule. And that's not the worst thing about him, I long chalk. You have been
listening to the romance. Shall I turn it off?
Yes, do it, boy. Did you want a bath?
I think so, Dad. And after my bath, we could listen to the London Regional. The BBC Orchestra Section G, conducted by Leslie Heward, with Hedel Nash, tenor. What was it England was all about at the dance? Was it something shameful? Skeleton in the cupboard. And would Dad kill him to stop his tongue? Everybody seems upset that Colonel Manton is apparently. Do they really think I don't know about Homer? Surprise them to know how often I've been approached by such gents. Lock the door. Easy, Peter, my lady. I told you to clear off loudly with much bad language. Arthur? Yes. Turn the taps off. Get on this. What's that? What's happening?
Help!
Oh, Lord, what? Coming, Dad, coming. Fast. Pull trousers up. I'm at the door. What's happened? Are you hurt?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right. Just get this thing off me, will you?
You're bleeding.
What? Give me a hand up. Thank you. Oh,
Well, it can't be anything.
Yes. Your head. Who was it then? Who did it?
Well, I heard a knock on the front door. I went and opened it, and he just jumped at me. Hit me with a sort of club, and I went over, and he turned the whole stand over on top of me. Oh. Yeah, I say. I'll be damned. Look, he left a weapon behind.
It's a club with a nail through it. He could have killed you with it, Dad.
This club thing here, Mr. Furno, you've never seen it before.
No, Inspector Cox, I've never seen it before. But I can guess what it is. It's a replica of the thing used to kill poor Inman.
Yeah, so you were attacked with this weapon, went over, and the attacker pulled a hall stand on top of you. Can you give me a description?
Well, I didn't have the hall light on, and the light outside wasn't good. You're taller than me. Young, all right, and pretty strong. Powerful. He had something around his face. Oh, and he was wearing a dark hat and a raincoat, light coloured. That's all I remember.
Now, did he say anything at any stage?
No, he swore at me as he went for me. I won't say what he said in front of the boy. And when he was looking down at me, he said something like, don't think you've got away with it. You're no better than Inman. I'll get you.
What sort of voice? Do you remember?
As if he had a cold. Peculiar. I know. Like an actor's, when he wants to make sure everybody can hear, when he's talking quietly in the play. And there was complete, absolute hatred in his voice.
Yes, come in. Ah, Sergeant Duke, can you look?
Not a thing, sir. The Trevelyans on that side heard a bump, but thought nothing of it. Mm. The other side were out. Nothing along the rest of the row.
What about the Langdons at number 11?
Heard nothing, saw nothing, sir.
All right, thank you, Duke.
I'll be outside, sir.
All right. So our tall, powerful young man vanished into thin air. Now, Sonny Jim, you opened the front door. It's still daylight, and you saw nothing.
He would have had plenty of time to disappear, Mr. Cox.
How long? Give it a go.
From when I came running down the stairs to when I opened the door, after I helped Dad pick up the weapon, at least 30 seconds.
But he'd have to have run, wouldn't he, to get out of sight in 30 seconds? And you think somebody in the Riverside houses would have heard or seen a big bloke in a long mac belting down the pavement, wouldn't you?
It was just bad luck they didn't, Mr. Cox.
Like the whole attack, my lad. Bad luck. Anyway, I'll give you police protection, Mr. Turner, just to be on the safe side.
Hello, Peter. How nice of you to come.
Hello, Mr. Trevelyan. How nice of you to ask me.
You come in. What an awful day. Saturday and it does nothing but rain. What an awful summer we're having. Give me your coat.
Thank you. It's not very wet.
Wait, you didn't have far to come. But in this weather... Oh, I'm so glad your mother's back, for your father's sake, as much as yours.
Yes, I'm glad too.
I'm afraid the house is in a bit of a mess. We're decorating. Are you absolutely starving for your tea?
Good Lord, no. I'm not at all hungry.
Good. Because I thought before we settle down, I could show you what we've been doing in the decoration line. Upstairs first. I feel rather pleased with our efforts. I'll take a jiff.
Is Mr. Trevelyan working?
No. He's away until sometime tomorrow. William always insists on showing visitors around, as you probably noticed. Here we are. What do you think of this bedroom, for instance? Close the door.
Yes, it looks very nice.
It's not really very nice. But you are. I thought it would be silly to waste time.
Yes. What?
No. No, you're not to do anything. I'll do everything. And you're to let me do everything.
Please, don't cry. Please. Tell me what's the matter.
I see you when I'm back. I've taken a decent young boy and I've corrupted him. Seduced him. Just thinking of my own pleasure.
You mustn't. I'd have seduced you if I'd known how. I'm no plaster saint. You haven't corrupted me.
It's the opposite you've done. And you're not evil and bad. You're sweet and beautiful.
Thank you, Peter. Oh, now, would you like your tea?
Good Lord, I'm hungry. Yes, please.
Well, you stay where you are. Everything's done except make the tea. I'll go and bring it up here. It'll be cozy, won't it?
You like being, well, sort of in charge, don't you? Mm. This is scrumptious cake.
I made it myself. Yes, wanting to be the dominating one. It's probably rather awful of me, but I do. I don't know why.
A boy doesn't mind, because it's all strange to him. And he's so terrifically keen on everything to do with it anyway.
I expect so. I've been with a couple of other boys, you know. But you, Peter, are the most beautiful, the nicest of them all.
Darling, Sister Vane.
Darling, Peter. You can have some more cake later. Put the tray on the draining board, Peter. Mind the clothes angle.
What happened to the window?
You've sharp eyes. I knocked a pane out. My husband repaired it.
I think I should go soon. I said I'd be back by about 12:30.
I don't want you to, but you'd better. In a moment. Tell me, is your father all right after his... that awful business?
He's a bit shocked still, I think.
At least everybody knows now he couldn't have... Well, it must have been somebody else who did the murder. Somebody who's still around.
The trouble is, no one saw or heard the attacker except him.
You must have heard him.
I was running a bath. I couldn't swear I did.
Peter, what are you saying?
That Inspector Cox, he didn't believe Dad. He could see it. He could have done it all himself.
That's insane. Why should he pretend he was attacked? Why?
To make people think it was an armed assault by the same man who killed Inman. So whoever that man is, it couldn't be Dad. As you said.
Oh, God. But there's a policeman outside your house on guard at this very moment.
He stays there when my father isn't there. I think he's watching for something else, not just guarding.
Something else? What else, for heaven's sake?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Peter, don't you love your father?
I think I love him. I think I do.
Don't you know him after all these years?
I want to know him. I want to be sure. But how can I? I haven't got a special way of seeing into his heart, have I? It makes it...
Don't go. It wouldn't make any difference another few minutes, would it? You'd only be a bit late.
Yes. Only a bit late.
Shall we risk it?
Yes.
Yes.
Ah, good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Colonel
Manton. Come and sit down. I won't apologize for bringing you round here on a Sunday.
My mother was very impressed by the car and the shelter, sir.
Was she? Because I intend to give you a whopping tea, and anyway, it's still raining cats and dogs.
Like yesterday, sir. Raining hard.
Yes, boring for you at your age, I'm sure.
No, sir. I wasn't bored. I found things to do.
Did you now? Well, tea. But before tea, I want to ask you some questions about the Thursday evening attack on your father.
Sir, to what degree do you suspect my father of being mixed up in all this? Because I'm not going to help incriminate him.
Let me assure you unequivocally that for more than one reason, we're quite certain your father had no hand in the death of the late Inman. Does that satisfy you?
Thank you, sir. Yes.
Good. All right, back to the attack on Thursday, then. How easy would it be to upset that whole stand?
Not very easy. It's got a sort of gutter at the bottom for umbrellas to drip into. Made of metal, gives the stand a low centre of gravity.
Yes, but for instance, you could upset it?
Yes, sir. But it might take me a few seconds.
Yes. And when you arrived in the hall, did you smell anything?
Smell? No, sir. I We didn't notice any smell.
Now, I want to ask you some more general questions about married couples. In the nature of the things, you can't yourself be married. But you are that ideal combination, an uninformed observer who is also shrewd. Now, let's take the Hodgsons first. Would you say they get on well together?
I should say they get on pretty well. I think she thinks he's vulgar and he thinks she's stuck up, but I reckon they're pretty fond of each other.
Thank you. And Mr. and Mrs. Trevelyan. Oh, hello, the books on that shelf are entitled as all. Excuse me. Yeah, the Trevelyans. What about them?
They get on very well, as far as I can see. We never hear any rows or anything. They go out a lot together.
Well, the deceased Inman didn't seem to take that rather rosy view, did he?
No, he didn't, sir. Not seem to. I've thought a bit about that since. I think he was just trying to be nasty without necessarily having anything to go on. Because they seemed happy. It was wipe that grin off your face.
That's more like it. Right, let's have the tea in, shall we? Yeah, well, it's possible. Let's dance. One after the other. Like a ritual, you see?
Yes, sir.
And Inman was like a man that evening, going round saying goodbye before setting off for a long journey. Well, it was that, in a way. I mean, goodbye, and I'll give you something to remember me by. What about the Langdons?
They seem to get on very well, sir. In a different way from the Trevelyans, though.
Different. How, Peter?
They're more like, well, Mrs. Langdon, sort of mothers him. And I get the impression he rather likes it.
Ah. Now, that does set the mind to work. Tea. do you happen to know if Mrs. Langdon has money of her own?
I've never heard that, sir. It strikes me as pretty incredible.
Does it? Why?
Well, anyone with any money to speak of wouldn't be living in Riverside Villas.
Now, we can't have that kind of talk from you, young man. You're thinking like a cynic. You have to earn the right to do that. It's quite easy to earn, but it does take time. In fact, time is all it takes. Thank you, Mrs. Ellington. Now, just you fall to, dear boy.
Good Lord, sir, what a terrific amount of it.
If there's anything you wish for, which you do not see, kindly ask for it. Oh, right there. You like it?
I'm not sure. Not very, sir.
Well, don't let the form put you off. It's a simple 12-bar blues. And I haven't had enough tea.
Yes, thank you, sir. I'm really full up.
You know, Peter, that noise is about a quarter of my life. It makes me do absurd things. For instance, the reason why I wasn't here on Thursday evening is that I was in London at the Holborn restaurant listening to Bram Martin's band. Now. There's a Louis Armstrong I'd like to play you. Oh, somewhere I have it.
General Manton, would you mind if I asked you some questions?
In principle, certainly not.
Well, the first one is sheer curiosity on my part. But have you found any link between the stealing of Boris Karloff and the murder?
There must be one, but we haven't found it yet.
Do you know who the murderer is, sir?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was obvious the moment I knew the bare facts.
Really, sir? But you haven't any proof?
Ah, yes. It's a question of proof, as it inevitably is when there are no material witnesses.
What had my father done so Mr. Inman could threaten him?
No answer, Peter, I'm afraid. Your father must tell you in his own good time.
Do you think he was really attacked on Thursday? Or did he do it himself to divert suspicion of the murder?
Ah, you thought that one out of you. Well, let me put it to you like this. We no longer take an interest in the matter.
Sir, when will it all be over?
Oh, in a few days, with luck. And possibly with your fellow assistant. Oh, and as a matter of interest, everything I've said to you this afternoon has had a purpose, and everything I've told you is true. Ah, Louis Armstrong. Quite true for what it's worth. Anyway, bear it in mind, eh?
Yes, sir. I'm glad about my father, sir. I mean, I'm sure he had nothing to do with it. I was sure. But I'm glad you are.
Good. Now, let's enjoy the music, shall we?
40-15.
Oh, good. I sometimes think it's a very odd business, you know, Trevelyan, selling houses.
Yeah, as well as I'm going to have to sell one and buy another short there, Captain Furlough. I'm going to find out, aren't I?
We shall miss you, Mrs. Trevelyan. You've been most kind to my husband, Mr. Peter, both of you, while I've been away. But all this wretchedness going on,
this is the least we could do, Mrs. Furlough. I don't like the idea of moving, and I know Don feels the same.
Well, we must do what we must do. No escape, I'm afraid. Ah, there's the old boy. Played his game, I see. Have a good game, Peter.
Yes, are you coming to join us, Peter?
Oh, in a moment, Mum. I'll have a wash first.
All right. Don't be too long.
Oh, good one, good one. Up, 30.
Mrs. Trevelyan. Haven't seen her since... Can I sit there?
Oh,
you first, too. Yeah. I bet I'll blush. Just say I'm hot from playing. Now the Langdons have arrived.
Good. How do you do?
I have to go and have a wash. I start to look a bit barmy, just glued to... What's this? Inspector Cox and a policeman in uniform. Yeah, Mr. Barrett coming up the path. They look as if they're going to arrest someone.
Hello, what have we got here?
Walter David Furlough, I arrest you for the murder of Christopher Inman. I caution you that anything you say may be taken down.
Colonel Merton said it wasn't him.
But you are not obliged to do anything at the moment.
Mr. Barrett, why have you arrested my father?
Listen, young sir. Colonel Manton asked me to tell you something if I saw you. It's this. You have to remember the last thing he said to you on Sunday. I don't know what it was, but you're to remember it.
Thank you. Come along, Mr. Furlough. Let's keep moving.
What was it? Something about everything. Yes. Everything I said to you this afternoon has had a purpose. And everything I've told you is true.
Peter.
It's all right, Mummy. It's all right. Don't cry. Dad's done nothing.
Well, of course it hasn't. It's all bloody ridiculous. Now, look, let's give you a lift home.
Thank you, Mr. Trevelyan. It'll be all right, Mum.
Oh, dear.
Come on, we'll get you. Here we are, Barrett, the Furlough residence, 19 Riverside Villas. March up to the doorman, ring a bell.
Me, sir? Yes, sir. Don't you lead men into battle, sir?
Oh, I saw you coming. What do you want?
Is your mother at home, son?
Don't call me son. It's Saturday morning. She's shopping.
May we come in, Peter?
I suppose so. Yes, come in. You'd better come into the sitting room. But it's untidy. We haven't felt like tidying up very much.
It looks all okay to me.
How's my father?
Your father's being looked after. Don't worry.
How can we not worry? Colonel Manton, you told me that you knew he didn't do it.
I also told you that I spoke the truth to you last Sunday afternoon.
But according to the paper, you have fresh evidence. What sort of evidence? What does it mean?
You'll have to trust me about that.
Trust you?
Sorry, Peter. You'll have to trust me about everything.
I see. All right. What do you want, sir?
Well, I said I might need your help again. I now do.
Against my father?
It's to establish a fact, and it won't tell against your father.
Establish a fact? What fact?
Now, consider this, Peter. We think it possible that, after being dealt the fatal blow, Inman fell, or was pushed, into the river near the bridge, floated downstream, semi-conscious, until he was by the back garden gate of this house. But to prove it could have happened that way, we must try to repeat Inman's journey with an actual person. Whereas if you're about the same weight and size as the dead man, you seem the ideal choice. And I haven't much choice, have I? Policemen are large persons.
All right, why not? I just float down.
There'll be a rope for you to cling on to, held by one of our blokes.
I'll go and put my swimming costume on.
Good man. There's no danger involved, of course.
Mind you, that water could be perishing cold.
It's not as bad as that thought. I've been in for 3 or 4 minutes. What looking great clouds. There'll be a storm sometime today by the look of it. The world looks different, sort of. Lying on one's back, floating. Remote. Could be anywhere.
Only a few more yards, Peter.
Yes, sir. Did this happen to Inman? I think the current is taking me exactly to the bank near number 19.
He's setting up right on the spot, sir.
Yes, sir, he is. An important possibility is confirmed, Mr. Potter. Very good, Peter.
And come out now.
Thank you, sir.
I say, what the devil is that? It's a sort of an arrow stuck in the back. Not an arrow. A plane.
What have you found?
This, sir. It was caught in the bank.
Let me have it.
And good.
Hi. You're shivering. Here's your towel. Well, that's your house, old chap. Get the hot bath. I'll be in touch later. Go on, quickly.
I know. It's a fuselage without...
Yes, yes, I know. I'll cut along and thank you.
Yes, I'll go and have a hot bath.
There you are, Barrett. Painted wood. No rudder or tailplane, no wings. Nasty blunt metal spike at the broad end, the business end.
Truth. Were you expecting to find it?
Not exactly where it was, but it was obviously going to be somewhere in this area.
It's been manufactured, so it can be shot.
Yes. Yeah. Vital evidence, my dear chap. They might have searched forever without finding it. Guard it with your life.
Yes, sir. The water's not all that cold, you know.
No, not all that cold.
He looked at it as if he understood.
He's a very bright lad, Barrett.
Thunder. Once it breaks, perhaps I'll lose this bloody headache. God, I feel awful. Perhaps I caught my death of cold in the river this morning. Perhaps I'm going to die. There's death everywhere. God.
Peter? The door?
Yes, Mum. Come on. We'll answer it together.
Yes, of course. Thank goodness you're here, Peter.
Hello. It's you, Mr. Hodgson.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Furneaux. Peter Boy.
Will you come in, Mr. Hodgson?
No need to. The wife and I were thinking. We thought it must be a bit depressing for you here on your own on a Saturday, so we thought you might care to step across to number 22 a bit later on, like around 7, have a bite of food.
Oh.
Dad will be out, the youngest in bed, so there'll just be the four of us.
Oh, that was lovely. That's the first meal I've enjoyed since... for days.
Good. Well, sit yourselves down.
Yes.
We'll have a hand of cards in a minute. Are you comfortable there, Peter?
Yes, thanks.
I would like to thank you both, Mrs. Hodgson, Mr. Hodgson, for having us round. Under circumstances, it's most kind of you, and a lot more than most people are prepared to do.
Please, think nothing of it, Mrs. Furneaux. It's the least we can do, isn't it, Harry?
Yep, the least.
Well, now... you're looking rather pale, Peter.
It's the thunder. It always gives me a headache.
Oh, well, it is a bit stuffy in here. Shall I open the window? Not wide, but enough for some air, Mrs. Fanner.
Oh, please do. Yes, I'd like some air, too.
Right.
Poor Peter. I hope you didn't catch cold this morning.
That was a lark this morning, wasn't it? Yeah, I won't draw the curtains in a moment. Oh, that muck up there is about to get to us any moment. What a bloody summer. Look at it. It's almost dark already. Well, that better, Peter?
Yes, thank you.
You've seen your husband, Mrs. Fanner?
I saw him yesterday.
Ah.
All right, is he the captain?
As they say, he's as well as can be expected.
Is he saying anything?
No. He's extremely reticent.
Yes, I'm sure he is. And the solicitor isn't saying anything either. That's the way they fixed it.
Fixed what, Mr. Hodgson?
Tell you what I think, son. It's all a put-up job. He's collaborating with him, the captain is. I know, I can feel it. Ah, they got some scheme going. The captain's not guilty, not in a million years. Ah, it's all some trick for it. His nibs is thought up.
I only know he's not guilty. He couldn't be.
We know that, too.
And I'd swear on the book that the voice I heard over the phone that time wasn't your father's, not the captain's, not ever.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, it's pouring. Oh, dear. Daphne's out without a coat or hat or umbrella. I think you should close the window, dear.
Yeah, well, I told her it was going to come down, cats and dogs. Anyway, this will clear your head, Peter boy.
Oh,
that? Right through the window.
It's a golf ball.
Ducky kid, I'll get my torch. I'm going to take a stick to him, might have put someone on eye up.
Mum.
What is happening, Peter?
I'm going out.
Stay here, Mum. Stay with him, Mrs. Hodgson. I know who it is. I'm going to see.
The
split up into two groups. Hawkins and Brown, stay where you are.
Right, George.
The rest of the bridge.
Come on, you chap. Follow me. This way.
Crawling with policemen. Dark and foully wet. Must get to the river.
Hold! Oh, it's you, Sonny. C.C. Hawkins, that's me. What are you doing out all in this wet?
I saw the torches. Wanted to see what was going on.
Well, you won't see anything in this dark, will you? Better get in the dry. You're soaking. Oh, not as wet as me, mind. I was in the river. Come up suddenly at me, he did. Give me a fine old butt in the tummy. Oh, bit of luck. I got the torch on the bank.
Are you there?
Who's that?
Hodgson here from number 22. I've two golf balls waiting for my bedroom window.
Well, that's a joke, isn't it? Taking a swing of golf balls in all these.
Get to the riverside. Forward along to the culvert. Here we are. Now, down to the culvert. No need to run. There's no hurry if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. I don't want to see another scary film or read another scary book for the rest of my life. Good. The police are not here anyway. This is it, is it? Yes. Careful. Careful. Here's the catwalk. I'm not ashamed. Now, down into the corner. Anybody there? Yes. Got a knife. Stop it. Hold on. Don't. It's me, Peter. It's only a scratch, Mrs. Trevelyan.
I didn't think of it being you. I'm sorry, Peter. So sorry.
It's all right.
It's so awfully dark. I can't even see your face.
Perhaps that's just as well.
Yes. Oh, Peter. How did you know I was in the culvert?
Because I know you. You needed somewhere to hide and work things out. And you were sure they wouldn't look here. Come on, let's get out of the water. We'd better be getting back.
Whatever for?
Because you've got to give yourself up. They'll soon catch you if you don't.
Nobody saw me do it. They can prove nothing.
They can. And they know how you did it. I think I know too. You must come back.
No. No. I've got it all worked out. I'm near the South Downs where I grew up.
How do you think you'd get there? It's impossible, Mrs. Trevelyan. They'll be looking for you, and you're all wet.
I'll break into socks and get fresh clothes and money and a pair of spectacles and do my hair differently. Oh, sir, you could come too. We could change our names and live together. We could be together for always. Oh, darling, please.
Get off! You're insane. And you're bad.
I suppose I am. It would never have worked, would it? I don't think I'm insane. But I am bad. I'm sorry.
I said, when you left me how you did it, so I'll find the machine.
It was your model glider gave me the idea. The catapulting you spoke of. I made a catapult with heavy elastic and cranked it up with a clothes mangle. It was very powerful.
Is the contraption there now, in position, I mean?
Yes. My husband's away until tomorrow. I didn't expect the police when I shot the golf balls.
Colonel Manton knew it was you. The police have been watching you. Come back with me. Give yourself up. Mrs. Trevelyan, please.
Forgive me, Peter. Not now. Now you won't be able to. But sometime. No. No, don't say anything. I don't want you to forget me. But you'll have to try to. Anyway, all the women you meet for the rest of your life will be less bad than me. Goodbye, Peter.
Mrs. Trevelyan.
No, don't come near. I still have the knife. Goodbye, Peter. This is really the best way.
Mrs. Trevelyan, please, don't. Where are you? So dark. Sam.
Forgive me, Peter. Oh! Oh!
God. Should have taken a knife. Mrs. Trevelyan. Let her get back. Tell her. She'll never come back. So cold and wet. Run.
Well now, Peter, I've a number of apologies to offer you and some information to impart, so do sit yourself down.
Thank you, Sir Michael.
Yes. Well, I hope you're well and Claxton on Sea was a success.
Oh, yes, sir, thank you. We had a jolly good week and lots of sun.
Lovely, good. Well, the apologies first, then. Chiefly for what I did to your father and through him to your mother and yourself.
You didn't tell my father the arrest was a fake, did you, sir?
No, I couldn't rely on his powers as an actor.
I see that, sir. I think he understands.
I've been invited to write an account of the whole affair, and I intend to lay some stress on your father's contribution. It's true he had no choice, but I shan't say that.
That will help, sir. He doesn't feel much of a hero at present.
Ah. Has he told you about his wartime accident and civil arms?
The car crash, sir, yes.
Yes, and also how Inman met a chum who knew your father was an admin and not a flyer.
He's explained it all, sir. Mm. I think he felt awful about the deception all the time. You see, sir, just before Inman was killed, he worried me because he'd become terribly worked up about two recent murders. Buck Ruxton and a woman. And Charlotte something.
Charlotte Bryant?
Yes. He felt he was no better than they were, which was silly. But when Inman was killed, it did worry me. His furious interest in the two murders, didn't you?
Oh, yes, completely, Peter. Most people have a morbid interest in murder, but not a furious interest.
And then he made it worse by lying about the size of the person who attacked him that evening. She was so much smaller than him. He couldn't admit to being knocked over by her. It was all this hero stuff, I suppose.
Exactly, the boy. Well, did you tell him about P.C. Hawkins? 14 stone of him, and he was butted into the river.
Yes, sir. It helped.
Yes, good, good. Yeah, well, that leads us back to the murder. An hour break came when you found the weapon for us. You recognized it at once, didn't you?
Not only is the fuselage of a sixpenny glider, it also told me who the murderer was. Because I'd explained about gliders and catapults and aeroplane elastic to her 10 days before the murder. I hadn't thought she was listening.
Yes, but she was.
Why did she want to kill him?
Oh, well, she'd been having an affair with him, which was a good idea to begin with, until Inman started to become indiscreet. Well, at the dance that night, for instance. Even he was going to tell Trevelyan, perhaps start divorces going, and this was something she could not accept at any time. And certainly not when her husband was about to be made a partner in his firm.
I see.
But let's clear up those dying words, shall we? Now, Inman said hello a number of times. What was he trying to say? You have 10 seconds.
Arrow.
Correct, yes. To him it was an arrow. Well, now I have 2 suspects. Her and your unfortunate father, whose lack of alibi was a huge snag. Though Hodgson, by the way, was never a serious candidate, and she had nothing against him. All that Evans stuff was just to make us misdirect our efforts.
But it was quite clever, sir, since Mr. Hodgson struck Inman, and Mr. Langdon was good at funny voices.
Yes, she was quite clever, Peter. Well, now, once she had assembled her contraption and made her missile, she had to find out if it could penetrate the human skull. So, she stole Boris Karloff and used him to test the weapon. Successfully, obviously. On Tuesday, Inman was coming to see her, as usual, and when he reached her back garden, she shot him with her arrow and pushed him in the river. But he got out of the river and found you. And curiously, most of this, the way she killed, was guessed by accident in a fit of sarcasm by that man Cox, in the course of which he produced one virtually insuperable objection. What could have induced the victim to keep still long enough for such a clumsy weapon to be aimed at him? I mean, I can't explain it.
Perhaps I can, sir. I noticed the bolt on the back gate of our house was very stiff. You'd naturally stay in the same position while you worked it into place.
Oh, my boy, you saved my reason. Yes, at that distance, with that power, the trajectory would be almost flat. Simple. Oh, so, there it is.
I should have stopped her kidding herself. I forgot she had the knife still. Should have remembered.
She was very determined, Peter, in everything she did, as you well know. There'd be no stopping her.
Yes.
Now, finally this. A £5 note. An unofficial reward. Spend it unwisely.
Thank you very much, sir. I don't suppose...
No, Peter, no. How sound your instincts are. I now know you know what I am, or what I used to be. A small part of life at any time, but the smallest part is too much. Well, that, understand her, and to predict how she would behave. With a result, I expect, could be called socially useful. But friendship between us has become impossible, I'm afraid, at present. It's, well, existing, really. We'll see, ever. But not yet. Good luck. You're a sane human being, and you'll survive all this.
Lovely evening. Golly, I feel good. And I've £5 to spend. Ah, there's Daphne in her deck chair. Right, my boy, as the colonel would say. Open the gate forthwith and approach. Hello, Daphne.
Hi. Hello.
Put your book down. There's a good girl. Are you free this evening?
No. Don't know.
Fine. That means you're free. I'll be over to fetch you about 7. You put on something nice and we'll go out somewhere.
Oh.
To hell with O, Daph. O or no O. I'm coming back at 7 and you'll be ready, okay?
What if I'm not?
Then I'll sit around until you are. It would be wasting time.
You're a big young man, aren't you?
I'm not very big, I agree. Still, it's early days yet. He, certainly. As for man, I might surprise you. See you at 7.
Oh. All right.
That's a good girl. Till 7, then. Started things anyway. Better go home and have a wash. How long ago was it? 3 weeks only. It all began 3 weeks ago, here at number 21, when she came to the gate at about this time of the evening. A for sale board there now. Listen. Telephone. That song. A telephone rings. But who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. Does her ghost cling? She'll never be back. She's gone for good. She'll never not be there in my memory, though. But not like any other deep memory. She'll stay in my mind, but I'll never be able to see her squarely. What she did with me and what she did to England. They'll sort of run together all my life.
Peter, love, are you coming in?
Yes, Mum. I'm coming in.
Riverside Villa's murder was dramatized for radio by Frederick Bradnam from a novel by Kingsley Amis. Peter was played by Ian Sharrock, Colonel Manton by Peter Jeffrey, Mrs. Trevelyan by Norma Ronald, and Captain Furneaux by Stephen Thorne. Detective Constable Barrett, Paul Meyer, Mr. Hodgson, Clifford Norgate, Daphne Hodgson, Deborah Page, Mr. Langdon, Malcolm Reed, Inspector Cox, Gerard Green, Mrs. Ellington and Mrs. Hodgson, Anne Jameson, Mr. Trevelyan, Leslie Heritage, Mr. Inman, Steve Hodgson, Sergeant Duke, Douglas Blackwell, and Mrs. Furneaux, Joanna Wake. Bert Soper's Rhythm Boys were Bill McGuffey, piano, Tony Gilbert, violin, Henry McKenzie, clarinet, and Bobby Orr, drums. The play was produced and directed by Harry Catlin.